Welcome once again to Words of Truth. Last week we began a study of Christ, my King, and we discussed at that time that Christ is not to be, never was intended to be, an earthly king sitting on a throne in an earthly kingdom. Today we want to continue our study. We recognize as we study together that the Bible is God's final revelation to man. And we hope that you have your Bibles ready for our study together today, continuing the topic, Christ, my King. You remember we asked last time, what was the reaction upon Pilate, the Roman representative, the governor under Caesar? Well, if we understand this correctly, and there fades into oblivion every trace of the future reign of Christ on earth at any time, and for any purpose. Pilate, the Roman governor, understood what millions need to see today. He knew at once that Christ's kingdom, his throne, his rule was not in opposition to earthly governments as an earthly ruler. Rome had nothing, therefore, to fear from that standpoint, as we noted. If his kingdom is not of this world, if he shall have no earthly soldiers, and yet he is to be the king over this promised kingdom about which the prophets wrote, there must follow these questions, and we review these. What kind of kingdom is his kingdom? How does he gain subjects to his kingdom? And where is his throne? Well, let's note, first of all, his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom, for he says in John 4 and verse 25, "They that worship me must worship in spirit and in truth." Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5, "You also, as living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." There is not one scripture pointing to his kingdom being an earthly kingdom. Neither Peter nor any apostle of our Lord ever sat on a throne with an earthly manifestation of sovereign power. When Cornelius fell down at the feet of Peter to worship him, the grand old apostle who died for his Lord said, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." This was years after the Lord had said to him, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." It was years after Christ had gone back to his Father. It was years after Peter had been baptized with the Holy Spirit. It was years after the kingdom of Christ had been set up as the prophets had foretold. The Jews had already been accepted into his kingdom. And here, Peter is sent by the Lord to officially usher the Gentiles into his kingdom. Yet, Peter refused to allow them to worship him. He refused to allow them to think of him as being more than just a man. Every blessing, every honor that Christ was to bestow upon him while on this earth had already been his to enjoy. And yet, not one time was he ever referred to as an earthly king with subjects, with a territory, or with soldiers to serve his earthly kingdom. There must be a reason for none of this being in the Bible, and there is. We have no king but Christ. His kingdom is not of this world. He has no servants to fight. His is a spiritual kingdom, ruling in the hearts of men only. He has no head over his church but himself. Secondly, he gains subjects to his kingdom, not by conquest, nor by having his religion declared the state religion. He gains his subjects by presenting to them the goodness, the mercy, and the love of God for man, by preaching to them the gospel of Christ, and having them to believe in Christ as their Savior, King, and High Priest, and with such a faith, bring their hearts to repentance. And this penitent heart, knowing his King has commanded him to be baptized for the remission of sins, out of a thankful heart for such a wonderful Savior who has provided for our salvation, humbly submits himself to his King, Christ Jesus the Lord. His subjects are born of water and the Spirit, John 3, verses 3 through 5. Not gained by the sword, as Pilate thought. You may read your Bible from Acts 2 through Acts 19, and this you will find. Every time the gospel was preached, they were all baptized as penitent believers. And Peter said it was for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. No man can change that law for us, nor can he add to the law of our King any new commandment or church tradition. We will hear no king but the Christ. Point number 3. Our third question is, where is his throne? If I can show you it is in heaven, that will eliminate every earthly throne and every earthly seat of government claiming to be the church of the Lord or the kingdom of the prophets. Turn with me now to Psalms. And hear David as he says in Psalm 89, 35 through 37, these words. I'll give you time to find it. Psalm 89, 35 through 37. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It, his throne, shall be established forever as the moon and as a faithful witness in heaven. Where is the throne of our kingdom? It is in heaven. And the throne of Christ, says David, shall be there forever. My good friends, this is why Christ had to die. He had to go back to heaven to sit on his throne, which throne he inherited from his father David. This is unanswerable. To show you that that throne is in heaven, and Christ is there now on that throne, let me read to you Peter's statement found in Acts chapter 2, 29 through 31. And again, I'll give you time to find that. Acts 2, verse 29 through 31. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, notice, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ, notice, to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. Why was he raised from the dead? To sit on David's throne. Is that not what this passage states? To sit on David's throne. Notice that. Where did Christ go after his resurrection? He went to heaven. Why did he go to heaven? Because David said in Psalm 89 that God had established his throne forever in heaven. How long is Christ to remain in heaven on this throne? Well, Peter tells us in this same chapter, verse 35, until I make thy foes thy footstool. Paul says, unto the end, until death, the last enemy that is overcome, at which time he shall deliver the kingdom to God the Father. Acts 15, 24 through 26. This being true, Christ never has, nor can he ever, establish an earthly kingdom. This would refute all claims of man as the rightful heirs to this throne, or as universal head of all God's people. The headquarters of our King has been established in heaven forever. Psalm 89. Paul, in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, speaking of Christ, says, which in his time shall show who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Paul says here, some 30 years after the church was established, after Christ had sat down on God's right hand as king on David's throne, that Christ at this late time was the only potentate, the only King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This being true, where do we get another? What right would any man have to be to this exalted position given to Christ alone by the God of heaven, his Father? Christ, said Paul, is the only potentate. There can be no more. Since he is the only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he then has all power in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28 and verse 18. When, therefore, he speaks, there is but one thing to do. Hear ye him. There is an idea that Christ's kingdom has not yet been set up and will not be until his return to earth. This, I shall now show you, is a mistaken idea. I've just read from Acts 2 where he was raised to sit on David's throne. In Acts 8 and verse 12, it says, Philip was preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God. In Colossians 1:13, Paul declared, they have been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. His dear Son can be none other than this Christ. In Hebrews 12:28, Paul writes, Wherefore, we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and fear. You see, they had, at that time, received the kingdom that could not be moved. There was only one such kingdom promised. That was the kingdom the prophet saw. Well, as John wrote on the Isle of Patmos, he said in 1 John, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. Here, John says, together with the seven churches of Asia, we're all in Christ's kingdom. Now, we have those on Pentecost in Christ's kingdom. The people in Samaria were in this kingdom. Paul told the Colossians they were in the kingdom of God's dear Son. And now John closes the book of God, the book of Revelation, announcing that he and the seven churches of Asia were all in the kingdom of Christ. Did they know what they were talking about? Yes, the kingdom promised to him was set up in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. My dear friends, there is only one kingdom. There is only one potentate, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that is Jesus Christ. I implore you and I beg of you to do exactly what God wants you to do in becoming one of his children in the kingdom. Believe with all of your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Turn from sin. That's repentance. Acknowledge with your mouth what you believe in your heart. Romans 10, 9 and 10. Acknowledge publicly then that you believe that Jesus Christ is the divine Son of God. And then be buried with the Lord in baptism to arise and walk in newness of life. And then, according to Acts 2 and verse 47, you will be added to his kingdom. No need for a vote, no need for conferences, no need for synods. You are added to the Lord's church by the Lord himself because you have obeyed the gospel. Let us help you in doing that even today. Why not worship with us today at 9:30 for Bible study, 10:25 for worship, and again this evening at 6 o'clock. We also meet on Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, and again there are classes for every age group during the class sessions. We encourage you to come. You will always be an honored guest. Why not write for our free DVD entitled, What Must I Do to Be Saved? You can have this free of charge. We'll send it to you. Now here is that address when requesting it. The Church of Christ, 601 Washington Street, St. Albans, West Virginia, 25177. We hope you want to study with us further from God's Word, and we invite you to do that next Lord's Day as we study together on Words of Truth. Until then, we bid you a good day.